This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes on BFM 89.9. I am Christine Wong, and joining me in the studio are...
Arvind Yuvraj.
And Lee Chai.
Yay! So today we're talking about how alternative proteins could fix food insecurity. If you'd like to get in touch with us about this topic, you can reach us, of course, on WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and on Twitter at BFM Radio. Now, why are we even talking about this in the first place? Well, the discussion surrounding chicken and egg supplies, as well as a lot of other food supplies, has unveiled the vulnerability of Malaysia's food supply chain. I mean, is our poultry supply even sustainable in the long run? There's this potential solution that could be found with alternative proteins, which may allow space for food security to bounce back, especially when Malaysia's inflation has shot up at its fastest rate in nearly 5 years. Now, let's think about how much chicken we consume on average on a daily basis. At least our neighbors, at least, can have some stats on this. In 2020, the average person in Singapore consumed around 36 kilograms of chicken. Mm-hmm. In fact, chicken was touted to be the most consumed type of meat that year. It continues to be one of the most consumed meats in Singapore as well. In fact, according to the Singapore Food Agency, almost more than a third of Singapore's chicken supply in 2021 is imported from right here in Malaysia. And though Singapore chicken sellers have pushed on with the business by selling chicken from other countries, poultry sellers in Singapore are still eager for the Malaysian chicken export ban to end.
Mm-hmm. And Singapore is a big customer and buys about 98% of live shipments from Malaysia. So this is coming from NST, where we're plucking this from. While some types of chicken are now allowed to make their way to our country's southern neighbour, namely kampung chickens and black chicken, the bulk of sales remain blocked. Yani Hadinata, who runs marketing and branding at Safina Food, recognises some of the same problems as his global peers, which is a surge in inflation that's driving fertiliser costs, exacerbated by the Russia-Ukraine war and a chronic shortage of labour. And then there's the long-standing domestic price ceiling stuff that's being imposed by the Malaysian government, which discouraged production because of the squeeze from higher costs that couldn't be offset by raising prices. Mm-hmm. The consequences go beyond rising interest rates and stretched paychecks. Neil Shearing, Group Chief Economist at Capital Economics, wrote in a recent note that the war in Ukraine has also raised questions around food and energy security that may ultimately cause governments to diversify supplies, and food export bans are deployed more frequently now as countries strive for self-sufficiency. And they also note that the legacy of the latest commodity shock will play out over years and not months, which is ouch, basically. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But a little bit of good news is that just a few days ago, on 7 July specifically, the chairman of the Special Task Force Against Inflation, Anwar Musa, said in a press conference that the supply and the prices of chicken in Malaysia have stabilized. Checks by the authorities revealed that most of the chicken in the market is being sold less than the ceiling price of 9.40 ringgit per kg as of 7 July 2022. Anwar Musa also said that the government has improved the distribution of subsidies to chicken farmers, which, among other things, have allowed them to receive advance payments, especially for the small and medium-sized farmers. Anwar Musa also added that the farmers are given advance payments before they make their full claims, adding that a total of 1.1 billion ringgit in subsidies has been distributed since the scheme began in February.
Yeah, so although it looks like prices for chickens have sort of stabilized, or maybe they're on their way to being stabilized, the world's food basket is still vulnerable, and Malaysia is not excluded from this crisis. In India, the extreme heat waves are affecting food production, and it's estimated that grain stores will only be able to sustain the world for around 73 days. So just a couple of months of food security for the entire world. Back home, a closer look into a well-known global index on food security informs us of Malaysia's fairly worrying food security status, despite us having these really mouthy political policy objectives in place that seemingly encapsulate everything. And what also doesn't help, global geopolitical events of the last few years have also revealed the substance of these policies resulting in Malaysia's food insecurities. And of course, unfortunately, people with lower incomes are especially vulnerable to food price increases. So Steve Howard of Temasek said more plant-based protein or more alternative proteins could be part of the food security solution.
Yeah, and the reason why he says this is because alternative proteins are manufactured instead of grown or raised, which means that they can be produced anywhere in almost any weather. The starting point for many early adopters of alternative proteins is to have an alternative to meat for health, ethical or environmental reasons. Their use could reduce intensity of industrial farming and pressure on land, which should result in fewer greenhouse gas emissions. Methane from cattle is the second largest source of global greenhouse gas emissions, accounting for about 20% of the total sum. If cows were a country, they would emit more greenhouse gas emissions than the United States. So that's a stat.
Wow.
Right. So this is why a lot of us are looking into alternative meat options, right? So over the past few years, many alternative meat options have hit the supermarkets and a few in Malaysia, actually. And one of which is Future Foods, who we will be speaking to later. Now, Future Foods' main product across all markets will be its high fiber chicken, given it's an important element in Asia, as it is an affordable, accessible and versatile type of protein. Recently, Future has secured close to 7 million ringgit in funding from investors in Singapore and Hong Kong as a proof of concept and achievement of the product development. With their recent signups, including Kyochon and CU Malaysia, they aim to make plant-based meals affordable to Malaysians. Now, another Malaysian startup, Nanka, also does a hybrid jackfruit and meat burger patties last year. Some of Nanka's products are 100% plant-based, made from jackfruit, mushrooms, potato flour, and textured vegetable protein, whilst others are not meat-free, with a blend of either 30% of chicken and 70% of jackfruit, or 30% beef and 70% of jackfruit. An American startup called Eat Just was also authorized in Singapore to sell lab-grown meat in 2020.
Yeah, so there's a lot of competitors in the market right now. I mean, Future Foods is one, definitely Nanka is one. I also know about Tyndall is also another alternative, quote-unquote, chicken protein that's currently being introduced in the Malaysian market as well. So it is picking up some steam. We've also got, you know, Harvest Gourmet, Impossible Meat, all Beyond Meat, all these things, right?
And Impossible and Beyond are available here,
They are. Yes. I think in supermarkets, some supermarkets as well. But, you know, there's a lot of variety. It's sort of picking up some steam, but there is a concern when it comes to alternative proteins. First of all, it is, of course, the taste and texture of the product. You know, how close is it to, I guess, the meat it's trying to mimic? But also, a big pain point is the affordability of this kind of protein, right? Price matters, especially when soaring inflation has squeezed our wallets dry. You know, alternative proteins need to be affordable, because why would people pay more for meat alternatives if they could just get meat? Actual meat for less, right? Some consumers might be willing to do so as a sort of like green premium, but that's a very uneasy economic foundation. And right now, unfortunately, meat alternatives are considerably more expensive than the conventional kind. But the trends are in the right direction, at least. For example, the first lab-grown hamburger cost more than 300,000 US dollars, which is about 1.3 million ringgit in 2013. I'm glad that the price has dropped.
Significantly.
Ooh.
Yeah. So today, we can find options at a broad range of restaurants, including fast food restaurants and popular cafes, with prices growing closer to that of conventional options. Greater consumer acceptance and a growing market could mean economies of scale eventually kick in, hopefully, fingers crossed. A McKinsey study estimates that plant-based and fermentation products could reach cost parity with processed meat in a decade, and cultivated meat with whole muscle cuts by 2050, which is, you know, it's not close, but it's not far, far. Those timelines could speed up if climate change policies become more aggressive, such as imposing a cost on emissions or raising land use standards.
Right. But on the other hand, there is another consideration, is that the alternative protein industry also needs to ensure that it delivers on its promises, such as emissions reductions and general sustainability. Thomas Labuka from Channel News Asia wrote that making cultured meat is an energy-intensive process, for example, and if these efforts are not powered by low-emissions technology, they may not make much of a difference. Attitudes to food are both complex and sensitive. It's crucial to build trust, and it's fair to ask if alternative proteins aren't the quote-unquote first world solution, something only richer consumers can afford and big companies can invest in. But ultimately, it is irrelevant to the billions more worried about having enough to eat.
On the flip side, profitability-wise, the space of alternative protein has gained some traction from investors in recent years, and this includes major meat processors. So investors are finding the sector increasingly appetizing. Since 2018, Singapore-based alternative meat startups have taken in more than $200 million, according to McKinsey estimates. And local startups are actually creating cell-based shrimp and even milk. Investors are betting on fast growth because Asia has been a bit slower to the alternative protein table, at least on that scale. And the region accounts for less than 1% of the global alternative protein market, or about $300 million, but it is predicted to grow to more than $1 billion by 2025. I find this extremely interesting, right? I think, first of all, Asia is not a stranger to alternative protein, I don't think, personally. Mm-hmm. We've seen our fair share of tofu, seitan-based products, you know, or that kind of like gluten product that I don't know if that has an English name right now. You know, especially in like Chinese vegetarian cooking, and also I know Indian cooking also is fairly good with the alternative proteins and stuff like that as well. But this is a whole new level. This is kind of, I don't know, more bourgeoisie alternative proteins that are hitting the shelves. What do you guys think about this? Do you think that, you know, these are actually something that might help food security? Or do you think that, like what we were talking about near the end of that, do you think that it's ultimately irrelevant to the people who are just worried about it being affordable?
I mean, I think it's more nutritious, if that's correct. I don't know. We're not looking at the nutrition values in each packet, but I'm saying that, you know, with these brands, hopefully they are more nutritious. They are a more suitable meat substitute mm-hmm. because of how much they hold. But also, I mean, going to the whether it's going to help with the food supply issue, it's price, right? I mean, it has to be affordable to the mass market. If the mass market can't pick it up, then if it's only available to the people who can afford like mm-hmm. such expensive foods, then what is the... I don't know about fixing it, but then what is the
solution?
Yeah, basically.
What do you think?
I think it's very ironic how healthy foods are always on the pricier side of things. Mm. And I don't think it will help. And one thing about the production process. Mm-hmm. I don't think everyone has thought about that when they see the products on the shelf, like Harvest Gourmet, right?
There is a similar problem, I think, with almond milk, mm-hmm. right? Where in theory, yes. it is a good dairy alternative, you know, and like what we said, the whole problem with methane production from cattle. So in theory, if you have non-dairy milk, you raise less cattle, but the water consumption in the production process of almond milk is mm-hmm. completely ridiculous. Right. And actually, I think, you know, overall, it actually sort of balances out weirdly where it's not actually as sustainable as we think.
It's not as eco-friendly.
Yeah, so that's something, definitely we'll do a bit of research on that during the break, but that's something I've heard of where there are certain alternatives that in the production process itself proves to not be as sustainable as it claims, right? Mm-hmm. So I think all of this is stuff to consider. And of course, we will be hearing from an expert. We'll be hearing from Annabelle Comartin, Chief Marketing Officer at Future Foods, for her take on all of this. So of course, do stay tuned to Enterprise Biz Bites. And of course, if you want to get in touch with us about this topic, we're on WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and on Twitter at BFM Radio. For now, here's You've Got the Love by Florence and the Machine here on BFM 89.9.
Burger, fries, Milo. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
You're tuned into Enterprise Biz Bites with me, Christine Wong, and
Arvind Yuvraj
and Lily Chai.
And today we're talking about alternative proteins and if they could potentially be the solution to food insecurity. If you want to get in touch with us about this topic, we are on Twitter at BFM Radio. We're also on WhatsApp 018-789-8899. On the line, waiting very patiently with us is Annabelle Comartin, Chief Marketing Officer of Future Foods. So Future Foods is an alternative protein company. And we have a couple of questions to ask her about this. Thanks, Annabelle, for staying on the line. First of all, do you think that people still have a stigma against fake meats, or is there this misconception that it's really highly processed? What do you think people think about it?
Yes, right now I think that people do have a better understanding, but still it's still in the educational phase right now. Just as back then in the old days when technology was still very uncertain, people said that the internet wasn't going to work, or when people questioned, let's say, a computer in every home, people ask about, like, how is that going to be possible? It's very expensive. So in today's time, when the question on fake meats or, let's say, alternative protein or alternative meat items and products, people think it is highly processed. But sometimes the word processed is taken a little bit too far, maybe because of the industries that have been using the word processed. Really, when you say processing, it's not always about chemicals. It's not always about adding harmful ingredients. But process is just the act of creating something and making it into something else. So myself being from the cold pressed juice industry back in 2013, a lot of people thought it was highly processed, but it just went through machine, the fruits and the vegetables, all juiced in a machine, which is also called processed, and then put into a bottle. So really there was no preservatives, no additives. And so it's the same kind of thing currently, like for future food. Really, the alternative protein or the high fiber chicken is basic plant proteins and fibers mixed together with natural coloring and natural ingredients, and then processed through thermal processing. So it doesn't mean that there are a lot of additives. And I find that a lot of Malaysians ask this, and it's good. Anytime people start asking questions, I think it's good, because that means the interest is there. They want to understand better. They want to know better. And I think the world of the internet allows all of us to kind of look in depth and ask the right questions rather than misconceptions or misleading information. So I think it's really, really great that a lot of people are asking about alternative protein or, let's say, replacement meats.
Mm-hmm. So how far are we from getting people to understand the concept of alternative meats here in Malaysia?
I think that Malaysians are very attuned to technology, to information, to the news. And the more that it appears around, the more people ask questions. And I think it's really good, because I find Malaysians very inquisitive. And so I think we're getting closer in terms of understanding, because there is more accessibility. The more that it's affordable, the more that it is present in, you know, in the kind of favorite places that they go, the more they will understand better. So what better way to understand alternative protein or meats, alternative meats, than tasting it, you know, up front, up close and personal. So I think that the more brands out there educate the market, the more alternative proteins are, you know, made available at cafes, at supermarkets, convenience stores, schools, for example, and offices, the more understanding that's going to happen. And of course, it helps that sustainability as a concern is becoming more and more relevant. And in the last few months, let's say May and June, we've seen the headlines around, you know, chicken supply, chicken issue, chicken prices. And this has driven some of the companies to look into alternative meats so that they can sustain the business, they can feed people, and just looking at, I guess, sustainability of their businesses. So if you look at our population as a whole, I think Malaysians are starting to also look into it. And you can see from the small survey that was done, you know, very simplistic kind of survey, which I think in the old days, if you ask, would you ever try plant-based chicken? Would you even look into it? Maybe the percentage would have been really swayed towards, no, I will not, because I love my fried chicken. But in the recent last few weeks, when a small survey was sent out, 46% of the people said, yes, I will look into it. I would love to try it. I would love to look into it. While, you know, the other 56% would say, the other 54% would say, no, I love my fried chicken. No, I will not try it. So pretty soon, I think it will reach a tipping point where alternative protein or plant-based meat is going to be everywhere. And just like, you know, what Bill Gates said, a computer in every home, perhaps a plant-based meat in every fridge.
Mm-hmm. Right. Annabelle, what about pricing considerations and the assumption that meat replacements are often more expensive than actual meat?
This is a very, very valid concern, especially in Southeast Asia. You know, us being Asians, pricing is very, very important to us. And I think that one of the considerations based on a study is pretty much around, first is taste, second is affordability and availability. So this is something that is important to consider, because if even no matter how good it is, no matter how much it looks like meat, tastes like meat, smells like meat, if people or the population can't afford it, then there's no point. So in today's time, we're seeing the chicken prices or meat prices in general going up because of supply chain and, you know, what's happening to the world. But what we can also see is that the chicken prices, because of the recent incidences, as it goes up, plant-based chicken pricing is also going down with the more investments, better technology. So with this, there will be a tipping point where it will meet, if not one day, alternative protein or plant-based meat will in fact be better prices than meat itself because of just the sustainability of it. So I do think that pricing is a concern. And at today's point, Future has launched with CU, which is South Korea's number one leading convenience store. Here in Malaysia, CU has about 100 stores. And they launched a plant-based chicken. So it's like chicken poppers in one portion. And that one portion is about 8.99 ringgit, which basically translates into $2. So this is a real breakthrough, at least for our company, because this means that it's getting closer and closer to meat pricing. And the better that we do in terms of making it competitive, the more adoption will happen.
Interesting. And also, just as a quick note, we just got a little tweet, technically a retweet, by at Riverlex, who have just tagged us in a bunch of tweets here. One by Jan Dudkiewicz, I think, who says more and more people are saying that investments in plant-based alternatives to meat lead to far greater cuts in climate heating emissions other than other green investments. That's an article from The Guardian, as well as a tweet by Matthew Hayek saying, for more on why plant proteins are a climate solution, to read the article, but by themselves, without decarbonizing energy, buildings, and transport, they are, of course, insufficient for tackling climate change. Very interesting heads up. Thank you very much to River Lex. Now, Annabelle, you were talking about price points. You were talking about how it's sort of getting closer to meat, I guess traditional meat, real meat. So do you think that your price points for Future Foods right now are accessible to the majority of consumers?
At this point, to be honest, it's not yet. I am foreseeing the near future where really plant-based meat alternatives will be priced equal, if not better, to real meat, simply because of availability, because of resources, because of sustainability. And in fact, I fear the day will come that, you know, our resources become scarce. So that is the real race that's happening right now with plant-based industries, all trying to ramp up technology, investments, pricing, and trying to become more affordable so that the adoption will be high. So in Southeast Asia alone, we see, you know, I think in 2025, there will be a 200% surge in plant-based meat as a growth. And this is purely going to be dependent on how affordable and accessible these are. So at this point, the answer is no, it's not yet at the affordable price that we hope it will become. But in the not so distant future, I think it's going to happen because we see a surge in pricing of the real meat because of, you know, different issues that's happening in the supply chain as well as in the environment.
Mm-hmm. So speaking of those surge in prices, do you think the price hike of chicken or just food in general will encourage people to try alternatives?
I seriously believe that with the prices going up, with also the options and information getting out there, more and more people will be attuned to try alternative meat or plant-based protein because it's made everywhere, it's made delicious, it's made affordable. The more we understand something, the more we're willing to try. And I think that this will drive people to look at survival, really, not, you know, for a certain population, like I'm from the Philippines, there's a huge population there which is very, very poor. I think they wouldn't be as concerned about environment, but they will be concerned about survival as well as, you know, if you do hear, let's say, a plant-based protein, which is priced cheaper or as cheap as meat, for example, as widely available, and not only is it meat or it's going to give you protein, it will give you the fiber that you need and the extra vitamins and minerals. Wouldn't you go and try that alternative? So really the contest is how do you make a better type of, you know, alternative chicken. So when that happens, it's about how much is it? If it tastes just as good and it's cheaper and it's affordable and it's great, why not? I think that day will come, and that's the race that we're kind of all working towards too, so that, you know, this adoption, not only in Malaysia, but across Southeast Asia, will happen and really make it part of the daily lives of, you know, Asians in general.
Definitely. All right, it's time for a short break. So, Annabelle, do stay on the line with us. We have The Best by Tina Turner coming up right now on Enterprise Biz Bytes on BFM 89.9.
Budding fresh ministers. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
I'm Christine Wong.
Arvind Yuvraj.
Lily Chai.
We're on Enterprise Biz Bytes, and today we're talking about alternative proteins and if they could potentially be a solution for food insecurity. We do, in fact, have a WhatsApp.
Yeah, so this comes from OSK, who says that these folks are stretching the idea of alternative protein. I just had fake chicken at a very prominent place, and it tasted exactly like the gluten-formed soy chicken vegetarian Chinese restaurants were selling 20 years ago. Support farmers in reducing emissions, not waste resources on reinventing the wheel.
Mm-hmm. I think there's a special place in my heart for, you know, a Chinese restaurant like vegetarian gluten-formed soy chicken, for sure.
Yeah.
But I think also one of the things we have to take into consideration as well, although I think to an extent, there's a point there, right? But I think also the nutritional value of the traditional vegetarian, I guess, mock meats, not so great. I don't, as far as I know.
No.
It's primarily very like empty carbohydrates from what I can tell, which is not a bad thing necessarily, but not getting any real fiber, protein, or any other.
Which
any
is
other
what the
macros
newer brands
in there, I guess,
says,
being not a very big fitness person. Anyways, but that's the whole point of why we're talking about that today, and it's a really good point. Thank you for your message. And that's also why we have Annabelle Comartinant, who is the CMO of Future Foods, on the line specifically to discuss some of these points as well. Actually, on that note, speaking about vegetarian Chinese restaurants and all that, Annabelle, is Future Foods targeting vegetarians or plant-based diet people or non-vegetarians?
This is a very good question, because when we talk about plant-based meat or, you know, anything that starts with a V, you know, vegan, vegetarian, I think the bigger market is beyond vegan and vegetarian people. Firstly, I must say thank you to every vegan, vegetarian out there. They are trailblazing the way to the awakening of, you know, us general people who are meat eaters. And they've already done, you know, their homework. They've already done their pre-work, and they've been preaching and living that. But the real contest is, how do we turn non-vegetarian or basically meat eaters into someone who would do occasional meatless Mondays, or just the occasional, okay, I'm not going to eat meat, let's say, for example, this week. This is the real target, because that market is huge. Let's just talk about Malaysians in general. In 2013, when I started La Juicera, a cold pressed juice company, the whole point was to make Malaysians healthy, because at that time, in 2013, Malaysia was the highest obesity rate in Southeast Asia. And today, we are speaking today in 2022, and the problem is still the same. In fact, more than 50% of Malaysians are obese. Can you imagine that? So this is a huge problem in society. And so that's why non-vegetarians are going to be the biggest market and the biggest target that we're looking at, because these are the people who need to cut down, who will eventually do lifestyle changes. Vegetarians and vegans are already on their way. And so with high-fiber chicken, for example, the whole point is, wait, you do love your KFC, you do love your fried chicken, how about try this alternative? Because if you ate it, you'll get extra 13 grams of fiber, which a normal human being like you and me, we need about 30 grams per day. On the average, the Asian will only eat about half of that 30 gram because of our modern lifestyle. We all love our coffee, we love our donuts, we love our, you know, nasi lemak and all that. And we don't get enough fiber. So by eating one portion of this alternative protein or high fiber chicken, you get that extra half, 13 grams of fiber, which is needed to complete your 30 grams per day. And guess what? Tomorrow, you're going to go to the toilet really smoothly. So imagine that. Enjoying fried chicken, yet you know, you get to have your fiber intake for the day, and it's better than just normal chicken meat, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. So do you think that hardcore vegetarians or vegans will use vegetables as we know it?
Personally, I think it's really cool that TikTok and Instagram has really kind of superpowered people who are vegetarians and vegans, who are sharing their recipes, sharing how they're living their lives as vegetarians and vegans, and still enjoying, you know, their fair share of food, whether it's vegetables, grains, you know, and all these other ingredients that has nothing to do with animals. I think it's an awakening. It's also putting creativity and letting us understand their world and beyond than just, you know, than just saying that meat is the only way. We've seen how delicious, how beautiful their cuisines are. And I think this is opening up the minds, especially of the younger people. The new generation is getting more attuned to it and accepting it simply because they want to preserve the world and they want to have, you know, this earth live much longer in terms of resources. So I think this is a beautiful thing, and I'm so thankful for the internet, and I'm so thankful for vegans and vegetarians for really leading the way in making our minds open to the fact that maybe there is a world that could possibly exist without being super highly dependent on just animal meat.
Mm-hmm. Right. Let's go back to the nutrition topic, right? Mm-hmm. So what is the nutritional value in what you offer in future foods compared to the chickens, namely the protein content?
So with this high fiber chicken, basically, like I said, you are getting 13 grams of fiber per option, per portion, if you ate the whole thing. So that is already half of the fiber that you need. And on top of that, you are getting 11 grams of plant protein, which is sourced from non-GMO sources. And if you look at that, just protein and fiber alone, you're getting much better value already than eating the real chicken on its own. And just to give you an imagination of how much 13 gram of fiber is, 13 gram of fiber, one portion of high fiber chicken, or if you want to get that from fruits, try eating 5 bananas, that's 13 gram of fiber. Try eating 6 apples or maybe 65 strawberries for you to get there. So really, in terms of getting more value out of just eating chicken meat, you can try high fiber chicken.
Okay, definitely a thought for sure. Annabelle, final question for you, and you know, to sum up this whole conversation, how does future foods and alternative proteins as a solution help with food security?
Well, one of the facts is that 80% of our calories come from livestock, which means, you know, animals, farmed animals. But 80% of agricultural land is used to farm those animals. So that means if you had, let's say, 100%, this is the whole piece of land, 80% of that is being used to grow these animals, which only becomes 18%, for example, of our total intake. But imagine if that 100% land is all used to create plant-based protein, for example. This is basically a translation of 100% usage that becomes food completely. So in a way, the solution is by taking away the middleman, and the middleman is the meat. By removing that, we are currently 33 times much more efficient than, you know, having to go through the whole livestock thing. So I think everything in proportion, the whole point of creating alternative protein or plant-based meat is not to replace everything completely, but it is to help food security, food sustainability in a growing population. I think COVID has taught us that anything is possible in this world. And just by that fact, we are all attuned and awakened that anything can happen, you know, in the near future. And we're seeing resources, climate change, global supply chain being affected. So by creating alternative proteins or plant-based meat, we think it can help with food security, because all that land, instead of just creating and doing farming for, you know, livestock, you could in fact take some of that and make it a complete equivalent into alternative protein or meat that will feed a huge population. And that's how it works.
Okay, interesting. Well, that was Annabelle Coe-Martinet, Chief Marketing Officer of Future Foods. We do have another message.
Yeah, so this comes from Yap Li Ling, who says, plant-based fake meats have too many additives and lacks the nutrition density of real meat. Plus, the protein profile is just too poor. I'm not asking one person to be either plant-based or meat-based. Just eat mindfully rather than create a lot of wastage. I eat meat and I take plant-based protein shakes. I just eat according to what my body needs and eat minimally processed food whenever we can. Also, if you look at the average Asian meal plate, we really do eat enough protein. We do not eat enough protein, sorry.
Yeah, we love our carbs. But I think that's exactly what Future Foods is at least trying to address. So, I don't know, we'll see. We'll see if there's room in the market for a solution here. But that's about it for today's Enterprise Biz Bites. Of course, we spoke to Annabelle Coe-Martinet, Chief Marketing Officer of Future Foods. And coming up shortly on the Breakfast Grill replay after the 1 p.m. news bulletin, here today the FBM KLCI had fallen 7.87% on June 30th, 2022. Wang Xiaoning asks Anand Pathmakanthan, Head of Regional Equity Research of Maybank Investment Banking Group, and Patrick Chang, Chief Investment Officer for ASEAN Equities Principal Asset Management, how will the second half of the year unfold and what investment strategies should we be employing? That's all coming up shortly on the 1 p.m. After the 1 p.m. news bulletin. And of course, on behalf of myself, Christine Wong, and Arvind Yuvraj and Lily Chai, you've been listening to Enterprise Biz Bites. Do tune in. We'll be here same time, same place tomorrow for a little discussion. Topic here is for now Don't Speak by No Doubt here on Enterprise on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.